So what was the worst part of Dallas last night? They lost or that their roof started to fall apart? Because that happened too.
The roof fell apart, huh?
Oh, you didn't see that in the pregame?
I did not see that in the pregame.
Yeah, a giant metal panel. So the Cowboys were going to open the roof for the first time in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then a giant metal panel fell onto the floor. And another one jarred loose. And the NFL was uncomfortable and made them fasten the one that had started to fall and close the roof.
Which makes sense because you would not want metal panels falling on players in the middle of games.
ESPN got video of one of these panels falling to the ground as the Cowboys were, well, let's open the roof. We haven't done that in 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of skies falling jokes I'm immediately finding from last night. That's got to be... Do we like to poke fun at Jerry Jones a little bit, right? It's probably funny that it is annoying him to no end, and it was annoying him last week that his own players were complaining about the sun, and like, oh, maybe we should tear down and rebuild the whole stadium. He gets a lot of complaints about that stadium. For how much he spent on it and for how much of a palace it is, you've had... Remember right when it opened? The punters used to complain about how the scoreboard was too low.
It was in play, yeah.
Yeah, so they would hit the scoreboard. You've had the complaints about the sun. There was complaints about the turf, right? Last night, Brandon Aubrey slipped on it, and they missed a field goal because of it. Now you've got the ceiling falling down.
It opened 15 years ago.
It's a little older than I would have thought it was.
That's like a half-life for a stadium. Are we in like 30 years?
Yeah, this day and age.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Stadium just... Well, the building right now, I think the one it's replacing opened in 97, and they're already on to replacing it. So
Nissan Stadium, yeah, that opened in 99.
So 25 years, and they're already already working on the new one.
Yeah.
So, all right, it's not the newest stadium in the world.
No, not at all. Well, good morning, everybody. Hi. The Cowboys lost, the Texans won, and it's another 20-point deficit the Cowboys faced. At one point, they were down 20 points again.
Yep.
They have spent, in their last six home games, there's a million stats on this you might like. One of them is, in the last six home games, including a playoff game, they have led for 2 minutes in six home games.
Uh-huh. That's great.
And they have trailed by 20
in all of them, right?
For an hour and 10 minutes.
That's amazing.
Of game time.
Yeah.
Leading 2 minutes, down by 20 an hour and 10 minutes.
So basically, if you buy tickets to a Cowboys game in the last calendar year, you are getting... You're not getting a good game.
Right. If you see them with the lead on the scoreboard, take a selfie. This doesn't happen.
Right.
It's a miracle. And they got hammered last night by the Texans. The Texans did it with Joe Mixon, who, by the way, while we're at this, I mean, maybe you watch the Texans religiously, maybe not. I feel like I've seen Joe Mixon in my life run the ball quite a bit. He was with Cincinnati for a while. He looks like the best player he's ever been by a mile.
Right now?
Yes. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. And anybody looks good against the Cowboys, but a lot of this year he has looked great. So, I don't know, whatever that's worth. Houston didn't get any passing touchdowns from Stroud. They had a hilarious big man touchdown. The Cowboys had they fumbled twice on the same play. So, Cooper Rush got stripped. It falls into the arms of a lineman.
Yeah.
Who, you know what happens when a lineman gets a ball? They're like, now's my moment, baby. Glory. Yeah. That guy got blasted and fumbled, and then it got returned for a touchdown. So, it was amazing. Last night, Cooper Rush threw for 300 yards, volume, that's how it works. And anyway, they lost. So here we are. Good morning. It's Tuesday. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR.
They're in standalone windows, by the way, like three more times in the next month.
Yeah,
so get ready for more of what you saw last night.
So are the
night.
Browns. There's a lot of Browns and Cowboys coming up.
Ugh.
But the Browns are interesting, at least. Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you got Jameis Winston throwing the ball, so that's
right. Okay, they're right. The games could be fun because he makes it a circus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, why not? Okay, coming up today, we've got Lindy Ruff at 9:30. The Sabres are already out west for their road trip, so we kind of had to shuffle things around. So Lindy joins us at 9:30 today. Sorry, 9:30 for Lindy. Paul's at 8:30. Howard picks the Bills coming up at 8. So the second half of the show, chock full of some guests to get you through. We've got Joe and Jer's Knowledge Emporium at 7:30.
Excited for
that. Some facts from each and every game that you need to know and all that good stuff. So here we go. For the Bills, man, it's a good life right now, huh? I watched Colin Cowherd, a clip of him saying this is the best version of Buffalo he's seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I agree or disagree. We kind of had that conversation last week, and the answer was 80% no. Like, most fans thought this was not the best Bills team they've seen,
mm-hmm.
but they're having a good year. I wonder if that result would be different now, having beaten Kansas City. You know, it was a resounding no. This is not the best Bills team they've had in the McDermott and Allen era. And 1 week later, I bet that number moves a bit. I mean, beating the Chiefs by 9,
yeah.
I mean, kind of controlling the Chiefs the way they did.
Well, maybe. The reason I think it would move is if you asked a Bills fan right now, how confident are you that they would beat the Chiefs in a playoff game? If you ask them that question right now, within 48 hours of the result on Sunday, you might get a lot of yeses. You might get a lot more yeses than you would have had 2 weeks ago. And I think the confidence, even just for that one matchup alone, if you got people to say, yeah, I think they could, this is the year they'd do it. I think this is the year that they could beat Kansas City in a playoff game. That's all they'll need to tell you this is the best Bills team under McDermott. I think this is the team that could beat the Chiefs. Therefore, this is the best team yep. that they've had.
Right, which could be true. Could also be that the Chiefs are more available to be beaten. They were last year, too, but the Bills definitely didn't have their best.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, thinking about all the fallout from this game, it became more and more clear to me throughout the day. I listened, you know, to the shows after us, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and listened to Chopin Bulldog, listened to One Bills Live. And I was thinking more and more about that Travis Kelce golf clap.
Yeah.
And how the Chiefs are loving to pretend that they don't care about this. But
yeah.
Put yourself in their shoes. What just happened was you had a game where if you won it, you were probably going to get like 2 weeks vacation coming up.
Uh-huh.
And instead, you don't get that vacation. That's real. The Chiefs have to be engaged every game now. They can't afford a slip. If they had beaten the Bills, they could have lost two games easy and brushed that off.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can't do that. The Bills forced them to come into work on a Sunday, basically, two more times because
yeah.
the one seed race is still a race.
Right.
And if anybody else in their job, like, hey, you're in school, the teacher says, the professor says, if we do this, we can leave early, and then we don't do the thing.
Yeah.
You're mad.
Right.
Oh, what? I thought we were taking next week off. Nope. Well,
good luck to the Carolina Panthers then, because that's who they're going to take it out on coming up this week.
They very well might. Otherwise, they could have just, probably wouldn't even have to study against Carolina.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens. Instead, they have to work.
Did you see Nick Wright's comment on that was circulating social media?
I did not. I'm gifted in that I am generally able to avoid a lot of the Nick writing that's happening.
Okay.
People tell me about it.
He's pro-Bills more than ever this year.
Like
the whole season. He said yesterday that he thought Kelce's clap was Kelce acknowledging the Bills are the only team in the league that are on their level.
Okay.
I guess that's his take too. That right now the Bills are the only team in the league. I think even more than Detroit that could beat the Chiefs.
Well, I don't believe that.
But that's just playing the result too, isn't it? But that was it. The take basically that Kelce's not given the golf clap there. He's given the okay, yeah, you guys are you're it. We know who you are. We know you could beat us. That's like it was more of a sign of respect, I guess, than all right, do it in the playoffs,
right?
Kind of thing. Which I don't. When I first saw it, though, I very much took it as like the golf clap. So, but maybe we shouldn't assume that that's what Kelce meant.
Right, it's tough. You're watching on TV. He could very well be saying like, "Hey, respect." You know.
Right. Yeah. Like I don't know. I mean, he did nothing in the game too, so I don't know what was going on in his head on that. So,
2 catches, 8 yards.
Yeah. Are they the only team in the AFC right now that you really feel like are on their level though?
No.
Because
you know who else is on their level?
I don't think Houston's on their level.
No.
Watching them again last night.
Baltimore is.
Baltimore, though, like...
Baltimore is.
Is it just Pittsburgh with Baltimore? I've got some different numbers on them a little bit later. There's a Dolphins-Bills thing going on with Baltimore. They've lost 8 of 9 to the Steelers.
That's right.
So maybe it's just that opponent, maybe, that they can't beat.
Would you feel...
And any other matchup, they're still... Basically, what I'm saying is the Ravens in any other matchup are like an elite, elite team, but when they play the Steelers, it's Dolphins-Bills.
Mike Tomlin has some answers for Lamar. Would it make it any different for you if I told you that Baltimore missed 2 field goals?
No, I know they missed two. They missed two field goals.
And Pittsburgh went 6-for-6.
Right.
Like, the entire AFC North missed a bunch of kicks this week, except Pittsburgh, who went 6-for-6.
Mm-hmm.
The team that's not...
But that's not all eight of those losses, where they just missed field goals. Justin Tucker has been amazing in those games.
He's not having a great year.
Yeah.
This year. He's 3-of-7 from 50. He's 4-of-6 from 40 to 49. I don't know. Who do you think's better, Pittsburgh or Baltimore?
I think Baltimore, unless they're playing each other.
The one thing that is different is Baltimore's defense. This is something we did not see when they played the Bills. Baltimore's defense is terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's really bad. And mm-hmm. we didn't get to see the Bills really exploit that because they fell into such a hole and... also didn't have anybody on the outside, and also gave it away in a trick play. Without that trick play, the Bills are maybe about to put up, you know, another 7 on that drive, maybe continue and get closer to that game. But
mm-hmm.
Baltimore's defense is the worst of Lamar's entire career there.
Right.
So that's one place where they might not be on the level as the Bills and the Chiefs, who I think have a good defense, and the Steelers have a good defense, and the Chargers have a good defense. Like, if you're looking at the AFC's hierarchy, what Baltimore has, they're a little bit like Cincinnati. Their offense is terrifying, yeah. and their defense is dreadful.
Right. It's true.
The difference is that Cincinnati's played nothing but tough teams, and they've beaten only teams with 2 and 3 wins, and Baltimore has, you know, a couple of quality wins here and there.
Yeah. I mean, they did smoke the Broncos, who look like a quality win at this point, right?
Yep. They smoked the Bills.
And they smoked the Bills, so like they have blown out some good teams.
So Baltimore's got quality wins, and Cincinnati does not.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not sure how different they are.
Yeah, the defense point, I wonder how much that does end up mattering. Like, we'll see what Jackson looks like in the playoffs, because he's probably going to have to be amazing, which, you know, he usually is not in the playoffs. Now he's just got to do it there. But it's a good point. Like, every other team right now that would make the playoffs in the AFC, don't they have really good defenses? Even down to Denver. Denver's got a
very good defense.
Denver's, I know Baltimore was that blowout game, but that's like their only poor performance of the year, I would say, defensively. Every other team, Houston even, is pretty good, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, every other defense in the AFC that's going to make the playoffs is really good, and Baltimore's is, like, laughably bad.
Yep. Houston's might be middle, but they had injuries early.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baltimore's is terrible. It's an awful, awful defense.
So is that enough to keep them from,
below?
Like... Is that the reason why? That's probably the reason why they have 4 losses right now. It's the mm-hmm. reason why they're a game and a half back of their own division. And they, I wonder what's the New York Times playoff machine say about them? Like, are they going to open the playoffs on the road? They're probably likely for that, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, because in their division, they're basically 2 games back. It's a game and a half, and they are down the tiebreaker. They'll play again. But Baltimore's chances to win the division are 35%.
Okay.
That's kind of low.
That's very
considering
low.
Considering a month ago, they would have been crowned as this unstoppable force.
Right. Well, they still the question about, like, are they on that level? They still might be many Bills fans' answer to who do you want? What's the one team you don't want to see come playoff time?
I think the Cincinnati Bengals are still holding that title because they are living rent-free in a lot of Bills fans' heads. The Bengals terrify people.
Mm-hmm.
If you go Baltimore versus Cincinnati, who would you not want to see in the first round? Baltimore would instantly lead to, but Lamar in the playoffs versus I don't want to see Burrow and Chase. I think Cincinnati would lead the I don't want to see them.
More than the Chiefs?
I see so much fear of Cincinnati. They lost to the Chargers and people celebrated because it's like, all right, they're almost dead. One more and they'll be dead.
I was doing that a little bit. Like, not to the same extent, but yeah, like in an assumption that they're more dangerous than Denver even, who is that 7 team right now?
Yep.
Do you think people think they're more dangerous than or would less want to play them than the Chiefs?
That we did that before and the answer to that was yes. Cincinnati.
Or Kansas City? What do you think people would answer?
It's a good question. We did Baltimore versus Kansas City and people said they'd rather play Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
That's a month ago when, you know, the Ravens look amazing. It's just kind of funny looking at the divisions and looking at the playoffs. Like, we know 6 of the playoff teams pretty much. There are 6 AFC teams that have a 94% chance or better. You have the 4 division leaders, the Ravens, the Chargers, and there's 1 spot left. And right now the favorite for that spot is the Broncos.
And they don't show any signs of slowing down.
No.
They're actually gaining traction here.
Bo Nix had 304 touchdowns against the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Had a great set on the Falcons, though, coming up in the Knowledge Emporium. Anyway, it's all to say, like, look at the AFC. How many good teams are there? I think there are more than ever. I think this...
In the top seven, I would say.
Yeah.
I think
yes.
Right after the playoff line, it's like, that's it.
I agree with that. From here, though, like, remember last year when we came in saying, like, wow, the AFC is so loaded, it's going to be unbelievable. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think this is the year we thought last year would be. Because 5-6-7, if it, right now, if the playoffs started today, 5-6-7 is Baltimore, Chargers, Broncos. And I just think that 5-6-7 is a lot better than last year's 5-6-7. Last year's 7 is Mason Rudolph's Steelers. Last year's 6 is Tua's Dolphins, who did not beat a single good team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one would have been, boy, who's the...
What was the AFC South game?
It had to be... Well, only one team made it from the South, right? That would have been the Texans.
Who'd they play? Here we go. Last year, playoff standings would have been Houston and Cleveland.
Cleveland
with Flacco.
Yeah. Last year,
which were fun at the end of the year, but like
Flacco's Browns, Tua's Dolphins, Mason Rudolph's Steelers,
yeah.
Versus these three, I think it's very different. These three teams are legit.
I don't know if
they could come to Buffalo and win, but I think they're legit.
Yeah, right now, if the season ended today, the playoff matchups in round one would be Buffalo, Denver. What is that? A Sunday afternoon game in the wild card round? Probably.
Maybe.
You've got Pittsburgh, Baltimore again. Which, of course, is fun and great.
Yep.
Well, actually, wouldn't be fun. I've got stats on that later. They never score. And then Houston and the Texans and Chargers.
Boy, Texans, Chargers, Saturday, 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Right? The first game.
That's about as good as that game would ever be.
That's right.
Right? Like, that's not your dad's Brian Hoyer against Andy Dalton Saturday afternoon game.
That's right.
That's not bad. The Texans are one of those that are just, I thought they were going to be this early in the year, and every time I watch them, even the first half yesterday, like, man, what's going on here? You're letting Dallas hang around here? Like, the game, they missed a field goal, could have been a four-point game at the half. Houston just, like, they beat the Bills, but I don't know. Even that didn't look like that impressive.
No, that's back when the Bills had, I mean, Josh Allen went 9 of 30.
9 of 30.
Doesn't that feel like a different life?
The Bills, 9 of 30. And they needed a 60-yard field goal to beat them at the end.
Yep.
9 of 30 and screwing up the last series like pretty royally, and they needed a 60-yard field goal. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Like, the Texans and, like, the margin of error. They were home, too. And it still took that for them to beat the Bills on their worst day.
803-0550.
Yeah, AFC looks pretty good.
I think it looks
good. The whole thing looks pretty good right now.
Yep. I mean,
but just the fact that they're sitting on top, they're 9-2 in a year where we were just like, oh, just get in and everyone like, oh, we'll take it. Just get in and see what happens. 9-2. Oh, sweet. Super Bowl. Let's go. We're back.
Should we be watching teams like Denver a little more closely and the Chargers? Because the Broncos, if that's who the Bills would play in their opener, they play the Raiders, the Browns, the Colts, the Chargers, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. That's how they finish out. The Broncos do. I mean, I think the Broncos are looking real good to make it. Maybe move up. It's where if you're a Dolphins fan, like, you might think they're starting to put it together. The Dolphins' chance to make the playoffs is 15%. Like, it's going to take so much work.
They're going to have to win, all but one probably to get in?
Yep. Any loss for the Dolphins drops them to single-digit percentage chance to make the playoffs. Any loss.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 4-6, what's the line going to be this year? Is 10-7 going to be it?
You think so?
So they probably can afford one more loss and hope they get in on tiebreakers. Maybe 9 if Denver drops a little bit. Denver's the team I'm going to watch because I feel pretty confident they're going to be that 7th team. Like, Miami doing it, going all the way through like that. Indy keep staying on schedule with Richardson. Like, they're going to win some fun games, but I think he's going to maybe lose them a couple too. So Denver, to me, would be the team to start watching and seeing if Bo Nix is legitimately like, hey, is this different? Is this just going to add to the pile of the, oh, you're beating Mac Jones, Skylar Thompson, and Mason Rudolph in playoff games?
And now Bo Nix.
Now we're going to throw Bo Nix on that pile. Or is Bo Nix like a legitimate, oh, no, this guy's going to be good?
We'll find out.
When they beat Mac Jones was having a rookie season that kind of looked a lot like what Bo Nix is having right now without the running.
Yeah, that's right.
Nix does have the rushing, which is very different.
803-0550. How is the Chiefs loss resonating with you? Is it already gone? Is it Is it to give you more context? Because I feel like the reaction around the league is that anybody that thought the Bills were, you know, transition year, whatever, it still is a transition year, of course, but it feels like the Bills are right back where they belong. And the conversation about them as a Super Bowl contender is, you know, right front and center. Not that it wasn't before this game, but everybody kind of caught on, like, oh, look at that, 9-2, going to the bye, the Josh Allen run. That touchdown for Allen, I watched it maybe 100 times yesterday. I'm sure most of you did, too. Is it now his signature play? And what did it replace?
It would have... Is him jumping over somebody have to be his...
I was going
to
say...
That's his signature move,
is
maybe.
Is it his most viral, most signature play since jumping over Anthony Barr? That was an arrival moment in his, third ever game.
Yeah. In his Hall of Fame montage, is it the first play you play?
I think you have to play passing plays first.
Yeah,
you don't have to.
Nah, I don't know if you have to. Not with him.
But it's the number one play of his career.
Is it beat the Steeler touchdown run last year in the playoffs?
Definitely
beats that.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was a pretty great play.
Yeah,
but definitely beats that.
Aren't they all running plays that come to mind? Jumping over Anthony Barr, jumping over Chiefs, he's done that. I don't know, what's the pass? What's the pass he would be replacing?
There's a couple. There's people remember the one against San Francisco where he slots one over a linebacker to Gabe Davis. There's a touchdown to Diggs right before the Hail Mary in Arizona. There's a touchdown to Diggs in New England that's amazing. There's a pass to Diggs in Detroit, right? To set up the game-winning field goal in Detroit. Sorry about all these times he forced the ball to Diggs. There's the 98-yard touchdown to Gabe Davis against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. There's the 4-touchdown game against Kansas City, of course, in 13 seconds. You know what? The answer is probably 13 seconds. Before that,
you can't. But you
it's one of the throws in the 13 seconds game.
But they can't be. But
yeah, that's. But that's almost.
They also can't be.
That's right. That's almost like when SportsCenter has like the top 10, and then number one is 17 shots from one guy. It's like, what's one right. play? What's the one play?
The New England perfect game. The problem is there are so many throws in right. that game that just none of them really stick out.
Right. And in this game against the Chiefs, I mean, what play would have stuck out before that one? He played very well, but he finally put his stamp on the game.
Yeah. I think I'm willing to say it's his signature play. It's a 4th-and-2 against the Chiefs, and
he runs through the world.
And he gets in. Right, and the fact that he gets in, I think, is really important. He has contact right up to the end zone. He's carrying a defender into the end zone. It's at home too, yep. so the crowd pop is there.
It's not quite.
I think it's probably number one.
It's not quite like Marshawn Lynch's beast mode. You know, what they call that?
The beast quake.
Thank you. The beast quake. It's not quite the beast quake, but it might as well be for a quarterback. It's pretty.
Is it the closest to the beast quake that a quarterback's ever had? Probably is.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
803-0550.
Well, he's the only quarterback that runs like that, right?
Pretty much.
Newton did, but
Newton did,
but that's it. Like nobody else is running through. Lamar is running
around
the safety. He's going to make that safety miss and get into the end zone. Who is running through that safety like he's Rob Gronkowski running? Will Levis is going to try to do it. Yes, right.
All right, 803-0550. Is it? Let's revisit. Is it the Bills' best team they've had in the McDermott era? And is that Allen's now signature moment until, you know, try to think of a play that would beat that? It would have to be bigger stakes.
Also, we have a poll up that I want to see your reaction to how many people are going to answer. Who would you rather play the Bills play in a playoff game right now, Bengals or Chiefs? And how many people out of those two options pick the Chiefs?
Oh, boy. Picking a 9-1 team instead of a 4-7 team.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You might be right that the Bengals are living rent-free.
I mean, why don't we just go ahead and slap that on a billboard in Kansas City for bulletin board material? Hey, Bills fans said they'd rather play a 9-1 team than a 4-7 team.
Uh-huh.
803-0550. Well, maybe we'll dig into that a little bit as well. If you're on hold, stick with us. Mike, we'll get right to your call on the other side. If you can hang with us, that'd be cool. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
somewhere in the fourth quarter, I think we were 16-14. At that point, you know, it was declaring a little bit more as a field position game. So just trying to stay on top of the pulse. And when that situation was coming up, Dennis Locke, our assistant up top in the booth, and myself were talking and saying, hey, this is what we talked about during the week and being aggressive. And, you know, there's just enough data with good teams, with good quarterbacks, good coaches like Andy and Patrick Mahomes that you're saying, hey, want to stay on the gas, don't want to give him another shot here. And the downside of it is the risk taking is the risk that you take of saying, hey, you could turn around, they get X amount of yards and a field goal beat you, right, to walk off the game. So that's the inherent risk, and that's the risk I had to take.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the fourth down call to go for the fourth and two in the win over the Chiefs. I thought about that yesterday. Like, maybe I didn't give him enough credit, but part of me not giving him credit for that was calling it an easy call for him because he doesn't get that wrong much. Right. That said, maybe I should give him more credit because I don't know, Joe, if anybody's ever done it. Offensive coach versus defensive coach. Likelihood to kick and finger quotes here, biggest finger quotes possible, trust the defense, right? Mm-hmm. Is a defensive coach more likely to trust the defense because that's what he's built on, what he's bread and butter. Like, I got a defense. I know what I can do here. I'm going to trust my defense. Four punts have turned them over once already. Mm-hmm. And instead, you know, they go for the kill shot or at least go for 2 yards, and Allen does the rest. So, you know, it wasn't that I didn't want to give McDermott any credit. It's just I didn't think that was out of the norm for him.
No. I thought
if they had kicked it, we would have come in here and said McDermott has given up on making the smart plays because that was a very easily identifiable smart one to go, and he did. So anyway, I was thinking about that for offensive coach versus defensive coach. Mike Tomlin kicks a field goal there and probably loses to Mahomes in a playoff game. Like, yeah. If that's a playoff game, Mike Tomlin kicks and loses and says, like, I trusted my defense. I mean, just book it.
Is it weird that the top play caller coaches of the league are the ones that are generally kind of bad at this?
Like, yeah, McVay is not very good at this.
Like, wouldn't you think McVay is the guy that's going to trust his offense to get 3 yards, but instead he's the one that's punting all the time? Meanwhile, yep. Brandon Staley came out guns a-blazing for the Chargers and was going for everything. He was a defensive coach.
Right now,
he cowered after the first year, but
Dan Campbell's very good at this.
Yeah, and he's...
He lost the game in the NFC Championship because of a fourth down that people, you know, still talk about.
And he's not someone you would just look at his whole mantra and think, like, oh, he's going to go for it guy, right? Maybe you would. A lot of coaches are changing on this front.
No, I think you're right. We probably stereotyped Campbell into being like, oh, it's going to be all, you know, biting kneecaps.
Sure.
And instead what they do is, you know, surgically smart.
Yeah.
803-0550 on the Bills and the win over the Chiefs. You know, how you're still feeling about it today, coming down from it. You know, it's a bye week, so we'll give it a little bit more time. And that run, I've got a tweet here from Mike right before we get some calls about that being the greatest moment in the stadium's history, which is quite a comment.
The greatest moment in the stadium's history probably can't be right.
No.
No, they won an AFC Championship game 51-3.
Well, that's game, not moment. That was part of the case.
Okay.
He tweeted in saying moment, the greatest single moment.
Are we talking about in-game moments or just moments in general? Because there was the fandemonium. I mean,
yeah, the comeback game.
Yeah, but the moment of tearing down the field goal post.
True, 19 beating the Dolphins finally. Like that, I feel like that's a tough one to make. But I wasn't there for it. Maybe the fans were pretty excited, obviously.
Could it be number one?
But that's not like in-game, like tearing down the field goal.
Sure, but that's a
after.
Moment for winning.
It's
Mike in Niagara. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I've been a Bills fan since about 13 years old, so I've seen through a lot of the coaches that we have had. And honestly, Sean McDermott is probably the best one. And this year is just, it tops it. I mean, you look at it, we're 9-1, we beat the Chiefs. I'm still feeling high about it. And honestly, bring on the Chiefs in the playoffs because you know what they're going down to. I mean, we got the fan base, we got everything. I think this is the year we're going all the way. I mean, I got that feeling. So I hang up and listen.
Thanks, Mike.
That feeling of this is the year they're going to beat the Chiefs, I wonder how strong that's really going to be by the time we get there, if it does come. Like, well, if they go through, like, Howard's going to pick the Bills in like an hour. What do we think? He's going to pick them to lose to the Lions, and maybe that's it? We'll see what he's got for us, but maybe has him winning the rest. If they lose to just the Lions, and they finish the season with three losses, and then they go to the playoffs, and they meet the Chiefs, every Bills fan is going to feel like this is the year they're going to do it. Not even the Super Bowl. Maybe that too, maybe. But this is the year that if the week of a Chiefs playoff game, everyone's going to feel like this is the time they're going to act. They're finally going to do it. Look at all the injuries they had last year. Look how the regular season game went. Look how hot they've been down the stretch. This is the year that they're going to beat the boogeyman when they need to do it.
Well, it goes probably without saying, but I'll say it anyway. The goal is not to beat the boogeyman. The goal is to be playing after them, though. You might not have to beat them.
But nobody can see. It's like a...
And if you can beat the Chiefs and then lose, we are the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. Hey, you did the thing and then lost. The Leafs couldn't get out of the first round. They did. And then they lost the next round and everyone thought, like, this is the same life. It's not about beating the Chiefs. I mean, it might be that they're in the way, but I want to be careful.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I want to be careful. If you play them, you're probably playing them in an AFC championship game. So
yeah, maybe, maybe not. But, I mean, if you're the one and the two, then it has to be that way, yes.
Yeah, it has to be that way.
But then, again, like...
It's just hard to see the forest through the trees when, like, they are... It's still... I can't even look past them because it sounds insane for them to get past them in the first place.
Right.
And because they've lost three.
And a Super Bowl appearance would be different. That's not the Leafs going to the second round and then losing in the second round. It would be different. But, again, the goal is to, of course, you know, win the whole thing. And... We should probably make sure when we're talking about this team, we're talking about more than just beating that team. They're good enough to win it all, right? Aren't they? And the Lions game, boy, if they beat the Lions, I feel like that's where it's going to get nuts. If they find a way to beat Detroit in Detroit, mm-hmm. The Lions are a powerhouse. Offensively, a powerhouse. That might be the kind of game, you know, everybody thinks Chiefs-Bills are going to be shootouts every single year when they play, and they end up being about, you know, 24-20. This one's high scoring, 30-21. Lions game could get spicy. Could be McDermott's signature moment, you know. Solved Jared Goff.
Yeah. I just think it's hard to get to thinking about the Super Bowl when they just haven't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Because I could sit here and tell you, yes, they are good enough to beat. I've thought before they're good enough to win the Super Bowl, but it hasn't mattered because they can't beat KC. That's it. And they could be good enough this year to win the Super Bowl, but if you can't beat KC in the playoffs just because there's this magic dust that they sprinkle over the games when they play you in the playoffs, then what does it matter if I'm good enough to win the Super Bowl if I can't beat them? It's Baltimore. Baltimore is good enough to win the Super Bowl. If you play Pittsburgh, though, you're not getting there.
Right. Bad matchup.
Like, just there might be a bad matchup. I don't think the Chiefs though are a bad matchup. No. That's the thing. It's just you just haven't beat them.
Right. You don't have that. You don't have a team you can't beat. Like if the Bills had lost every game under McDermott to the Chiefs.
And Allen was smothered by like, yeah. Spagnuolo always, because that's what Baltimore does to Pittsburgh. It's the quarterback numbers go down and they haven't scored 20 points against the Steelers in like 6 years. Like, that's not happening, yeah, when you play the Chiefs.
If you're the Ravens, you might be thinking your team can win the Super Bowl as long as you don't meet the Steelers along the way.
Right.
Paul in Akron. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You were talking about that play where Josh ran in the end zone on the 4th-and-2. I was at the game with my kids. It was, oh, my God, it was just great just being there. Wonderful experience. But you said, like, this overdid what other play? Well, I think you guys think that way because you think of the crowd level noise. Now, Jeremy, you said you went back and you listened to this or watched this a couple times. Listen to the crowd. Don't listen to the commentators. When I went back and listened to it, because I didn't notice it being in the stadium and, you know, there were so many high fives going around after he went into the end zone, it wasn't enough to go around. But the crowd level noise went up three times. They got the ball. He snapped it. We were like, oh, no. You know, he tries to throw it. You know, he pulls it back. He starts to run. And then as soon as he makes the first down, everybody was like, yeah, because we knew. We were like, oh, we're not kicking a field goal. We got this. And then all of a sudden he gets through some defenders. And we're like,
it goes up another level. Oh, God, he's going to go in. Oh, no, is he going to make it? He's got two more guys to beat. And then the third level is when he went in, and the crowd just went crazy. It was just amazing. And I didn't even notice that being in the crowd until I went back, like you, Jeremy, and watched it a bunch of times because I couldn't watch it enough times. But it was like three levels. If you go back and listen to that, there's three levels where the crowd goes up a decimal, and then in the end zone to the final decimal. It was just, oh, my God. It was amazing. I loved it. It was awesome.
Yep.
And so are you guys. I'll let you go. I just wanted to say that because I was there. It was a great experience. I was there with my boys, and it was, oh, I couldn't even tell you. I wouldn't. Where would you rather be?
Right. Thanks, Paul.
All right, you guys have a good morning.
You too. I'm thinking about a lot of plays like that. I like how you describe it. When there are, in the same play, different levels and different moments of whatever, euphoria, whatever you want to say. I think about this for, happens a lot with home runs. Like a playoff game in baseball, the ball hits the bat, the crowd goes nuts because like that one's deep. And then the moment it lands in the stands, there's another roar. Or like the Minneapolis Miracle is good for this.
When he catches it.
He catches it, there's a cheer. And then, oh my God, he's loose.
Yeah.
This would have been like the Taron Johnson pick six. That's one where, imagine that one with a full stadium.
Right.
That is intercepted, the roar. Intercepted, he's bringing it out. And then, oh, he's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, plays like that where you get two to three different launching points of this is going to happen. And that Allen play definitely provided that. Thanks, Paul. That's a great breakdown of that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we get back, it is a Bills day in history. Everyone listening might, likely, will, unfortunately, but smile now. Remember, it involves your guy. Your guy.
My guy?
Your guy. This day in history. Coming up next.
Peterman rolling and throwing off the hands of DeMarco and intercepted. Patrick DeMarco couldn't hold it. Corey Toomer has it. And down the sideline, he tightropes. Corey Toomer is in for a Charger touchdown. Pass rushers that will come after the rookie, and they do. He floats one, and that's intercepted. Pressure coming. Peterman hit, and that is his third interception of the day. Is that... Almost. Did he pick that off? Casey Hayward may have another interception. And that's the fifth interception today thrown by Peterman.
Happy 7-year anniversary to the Peterman game.
What a day. What a day.
Fun fact.
Why does it make me smile?
Fun fact.
It's because it was so absurd.
What was the score at the end of the first quarter?
Ooh, I think there was a long McCoy run, so I'm gonna guess like 28-7.
10-7.
That's it?
It was 10-7.
Come on.
He threw two picks, then McCoy scored a touchdown. It's 10-7. And it's so funny. Like now looking back, Peterman threw five interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a game. Four and a half, right? Five in the game.
In the first half.
Five in the first half.
Five in the first half. He didn't play the second half.
That's right.
The last one comes with 40 seconds left in the first half.
Yeah, five in the first half. Okay. But you know at 10-7, when McCoy ran in, every one of them was like, all right, you know, like settle things down. Let's go.
Here we go.
Come on.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
He's still in the league.
He's still in the league. Your guy, Nathan Peterman.
It's just because it's two things. One, that game is simply incredible. There's so many stats. Like, it's incredible he exists. And it's doubly incredible. He is 30 years old, 7 years past that game, and the guy is still out here. That might be a testament to him. I don't know.
Yep.
Like, practice stuff and, like, behind the scenes. Because when you are statistically the worst quarterback in NFL history, and you're still doing it in your seventh year, you still have a job, you still get a paycheck, even if it's only right now a practice squad paycheck. Simply insane.
Two quick notes for you. So the Giants are turning to Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. Cool. All Italians everywhere celebrate.
He did throw 8 touchdowns and 3 picks last year. He might not be worse than Drew Lock. And also, I just got to send a link that Daniel Ricciardo, the F1 driver who was at the Bills game a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
Apparently was out at a Bills backers bar shotgunning beers with Bills fans.
Beautiful.
So now he's just going to bars and watching games.
He's just an all-out Bills fan
yeah,
at this point?
Pretty much. 803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. We got open segment. We'll get more of your calls on the other side on the Bills win over Kansas City. We're spending a little extra time with it, what it really means, and how the AFC playoff picture looks. Houston got a win last night. Joe Mixon, 3 touchdowns and a blowout win over Dallas. So we'll talk about it with you. I also want to ask about that whole that magic phrase, Super Bowl. How often you really think about it? How often people think about it? So we'll get to that. Joe and Jer's Knowledge Emporium at 7:30. Paul Hamilton along the way on the Sabres, who play out west. Lindy Ruff, 9:30. Howard picks the Bills. All coming up on WGR.